From the Marketplace Morning Report, I'm David Brancaccio. He's in his 20s and he's terrified. It's about his mom.
I realize she's not been sending him hundreds of dollars. She's been sending him tens of thousands of dollars.
Jason, not his real name, knew his mother had started online dating, but then a message popped up on her phone suggesting his mom was sending thousands to an emailer claiming to be a U.S. soldier stationed in Africa. Money for an orphan, the love interest said he rescued from terrorists, money to help him export gold bars from a local mine, in-person dates always broken.
She's saying that, oh, he's coming home, and then he misses that date for some reason, missed his flight or whatever.
And then, this is so heartbreaking, booking a trip to Jerusalem where she would meet the emailer face to face.
And they were going to elope there. And so she sent somewhere around 15 to 20,000 to arrange that marriage and everything. And then he supposedly was in a firefight and got wounded.
The wedding never happened. Jason thinks she got a few $100 back for the flower arrangements. Jason's mom may believe it's true love, but the situation bears the hallmarks of a classic scam. This week, we're hearing about evidence that as people get older, many become more vulnerable to fraud. Experts such as Weill Cornell gerontologist Mark Lax speak of age-associated financial vulnerability. This applies to people who seem cognitively okay, but who start dealing with money in ways that hurt their quality of life and
is in some way inconsistent with the financial behaviors they manifested as a younger person.
Among alarm bells is the change Jason noticed in a mom who had been, by the son's account, professionally successful and good with money. There'd been a divorce, and losing a spouse is a financial vulnerability in itself. Also note, doctors see changes in those as young as their 50s, and Jason's mom is not yet 60. Jason's story helps us explore what is to be done in situations like these. Donna Maddox, an assistant U.S. attorney in Oregon, is her office's Elder Justice Coordinator. Her appointment is part of a 2017 federal law which directs regulators, law enforcement jurisdictions, and social workers to share info and teach about risk factors. She says describing for people how the common frauds like this romance scam play out can put people on guard. Her general advice?
Don't send money to someone you don't know, and don't receive money from someone you don't know.
But the internet can create the illusion you know a person. Also in this fight is Judith Shaw, pushing to get banks on the case.
We recognize that the people who work in our financial institutions are truly the warriors on the front line against this fight.
She's the boss of the state of Maine's Office of Securities after a bank manager took the risk of flagging a scam targeting Shaw's own mother. Despite bank privacy rules, Shaw spearheaded a training system for tellers and their bosses in Maine to show that reporting to, for instance, Adult Protective Services is okay. Nationally, banks wanted reassurance, and Shaw pushed for that federal law last spring that increased immunity for ringing the alarm. Meanwhile, Jason, in the Pacific Northwest.
I did talk to the bank. They told me there's nothing they could do unless I was tied into the accounts, which I'm not.
Wall Street's self-regulatory body FINRA last year ordered stockbrokers to ask customers to list the name of a trusted person to contact if something signals scam. This rule, however, doesn't apply to banks. What else? The FBI has what it calls IC3, the Internet Crime Complaint Center. Rachel Yurkovich at IC3 says the best hope for getting money back may be if the feds determine it's part of a pattern.
The more victims you have reporting this, the more actionable it can become.
Busts are not common, nor is getting money back. The feds pulled off several elder fraud sweeps in the last 2 years. The two big ones netted more than 500 people combined. A prominent elder rights advocate told me, quote, "We're not going to prosecute our way out of the problem. Better," she said, "is education and protection, including doctors and financial advisors working together as their shared clients and patients get older, or technology with super spam filters under development." And here's a tool, at least in Florida.
The very quick access to a pause button so that the money isn't gone forever.
Shannon Miller, an elder rights attorney in Gainesville, says her state's new system lets vulnerable adults easily trigger a freeze to stop money flowing to a thief pending court review. That's Florida. In Oregon, Jason's been told even a temporary hold might require a legal fight with his mom, something he's just not prepared to do. I mean, he's still in school.
Yeah, and that's kind of why I'm in a spot right now. I can't really afford to not live with her right now, so.
Jason says he told his mom he was talking to us, but she declined to speak with us directly and still doesn't see what's happening as a scam. This is part of the Marketplace series, Brains and Losses, the bottom line on aging and financial vulnerability. You can listen to the one-hour special and find resources, including how to protect loved ones from fraud, here at marketplace.org.